Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. Here to encourage you in the studio is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kolaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. We want to give a special shout-out to all of those who are viewing on the Gulf Coast, CTN and Christian Television Network. Listen, we are encouraged to have this conversation with you. And, of course, we want to give a shout-out to all of our friends listening around the nation and the world. We love your comments on Facebook and all the social media ways that we get connected. Continue the conversation and continue to keep us engaged, and we're, you know, going back and forth, but it's so cool to hear from everyone and the things that God is showing you and how the program is encouraging you. And that's what we want to do. We want to bring encouragement and bring a light perspective to all the things that we're seeing today in the news and in our lives, and to help us to do everything that God wants us to do, kind of to seize the moment, if you will. You know what I mean? Because events will hit us like bugs on a windshield, but if we're not taking time to get God's perspective on it, we're either going to ignore it, we're either going to have a negative impression of it because all we're hearing on traditional media is the doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. But we like to say that it's not just important to know the news, but you got to know what to do with the news that you know. And God has much to say about it, since he kind of knows everything that's happening anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can ask him for insight, and if you ask, he will definitely provide. Don't forget that we are two programs back-to-back, and in the event that you miss us, don't forget as well that you can go to VFNTV.com and continue to find additional resources that we have there for you. You will always find the torch. You can watch VFNTV from VFNTV.com, as well as get connected with the podcast and different ways to download the app. So it's a ton of resources there that are available for you. We are going to continue our conversation in this hour and in this program about a book that we've been discussing for a little while now. It's been phenomenal. The book is called The Harvest, and it was written by Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner wrote this book over, what, maybe 25 years ago.
25 years, yeah.
And this book was a result of a vision that the Lord gave him relating to the end time harvest, and that it was basically unparalleled, like nothing the world has ever experienced, and it's going to be amazing. And we've been taking our time reading and discussing and sharing. You know, I have found out that, what is it, 63% of people would rather get electrically shocked than to learn something new. So we're helping to ease the shocking by
we'll learn it together.
We'll learn together and just sit back and enjoy the conversation. But we've been talking about chapter 3 in regards to the magnitude of the harvest, and hopefully we'll get into the travail of the Spirit. But this whole chapter is dedicated. There's subtitles, if you're following along with us, called The Darkness and The Fishnet, and also, let's see here, Mending the Net. And so we're going to continue to talk about this and really kind of begin to unpack it, because there's so much in this. There's just so much. And it's so encouraging because there's many people who have been witnessing, you've been sharing, you know, you see things that are happening and they're getting darker and darker in your eyes, and you're wondering, what's going on here? Where, you know, are people coming to God? Listen, it's coming. The wave is coming. And we're going to be living in a season where you just open your mouth and people are going to be coming to the Lord like never before. And many, many young people are going to be used powerfully, powerfully during this time. And I want to read a section. This is under the fishnet. It says, the Spirit is compelling pastors to get with other pastors, prophets with prophets, apostles with apostles, and even whole congregations are beginning to visit and interrelate with each other. Congregations apart from their own circles of emphasis. This is the Lord's doing, and some of these meetings may seem fruitless because of the improper agendas, but they will bear fruit. They will be links made. Soon, the Lord's presence in these meetings will melt all presumption and all the facades which separate us from union with him and each other. And so there's coming a time where people are going to get outside of just mm-hmm. where they've been gathering, are going to be connecting and relating to the body of Christ at large. And it's one thing that we don't need to do. You know, there's not a vacancy in the Trinity, so we don't have to step into the Holy Spirit's role. There's not a vacancy there. The Holy Spirit is in charge, you know, large and in charge, and he can orchestrate, he can gather his church, he can do what he wants to do. I think the most challenging part is going to be for a lot of people is to get out of his way and allow God to do what he wants to do in the last days. He has a work to do, and he's going to do it with or without you. But how much better would it be for us to cooperate and be in step with him?
Yeah. Yeah. Just talking about what you're saying is that, you know, the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. And what I thought was so powerful is that Rick Joyner continues on. He's just saying the fact of just how powerful this upcoming move of God is. And basically on the next page on the bottom, he's basically saying that he says only the Holy Spirit can order this work. And he is now starting to take his authority. He says, those with a control spirit will be the greatest opposers of every move of God until the end. And I think that is so powerful because it's just like what God is going to do is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our control. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just like if man's going to try and step into a place of leadership or step into a place of influence and say, okay, I've got to control this. And it's just like, you can't. And it's just like what God's going to do is greater than anything of it's just beyond us. Yeah. All we're going to do is just say, hey, God's doing something. It's God. Go after God. Go after God.
It's pretty amazing. He says, he continues to say in that same area, he says, those who have been truly ordained by God and not just an institution will become increasingly determined to give up control over their people and circumstances, deferring to the Holy Spirit. So though they're going to be more open to saying, oh, you know, let Holy Spirit have your way, the control they relinquish will be replaced by spiritual authority grounded in the peace and rest of God. God will increase their authority. And then he goes on, what is coming is beyond any man's ability to control.
Right.
I mean, it's as if you could. What's coming? It's like, get out the way or get mowed over because...
How do you control a tidal wave?
Exactly.
You know, it's just move.
Yeah, just stick your oar in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, on your surfboard.
Only the Holy Spirit can order this work, and he is now starting to take his authority. And those with the control spirit will be the greatest opposers of every move of God until the end. And this is true, because you see that happening. I mean, that's a manifestation of a religious spirit as well, because every great move of God, when you look at it, there was always those that who didn't get into what God was doing. They were the ones that were taking the rulers, they were measuring, they were accusing, they saw one thing that maybe, because, you know, when revival comes and a great outpouring is happening, it's not going to be perfect. Why? Because God doesn't use perfect people. So there are going to be some things and some issues that may not be absolutely right or perfect or, you know, the ideal situation, but that's okay. Since the Holy Spirit's the one who poured out the Spirit, since the Holy Spirit's the one that chose someone to move in that way, hey, it's good. And this reminds me of the revival in Wales, the Welsh revival, because that move of God was so powerful, sovereignly by God. The entire nation was touched. God used many evangelists, but one of the main evangelists he used was Robert Evans. And the whole thing about Robert Evans' ministry was that he completely entrusted himself and the work of what God was doing to the Holy Spirit. He completely got out of the way. And there were times where he would not even go up to speak. In fact, some have said, I didn't say this, but it's written in Rick Joyner's book that he wasn't even a good preacher. They said he wasn't even, and Rick says it's because God didn't need another teacher or a preacher. This was what God was going to do. It wasn't about the teaching or the preaching. This was God's move. But what happened that came to an end of the Welsh revival, and this move of God happened in 1905, right before the Azusa Street revival. What happened there was that a woman by the name of Jessie Penn Lewis, who used to attend the revival, was used to actually bring an end to the revival. She had this thing going on where where she thought that Robert Evans was taking center stage, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's something that he, in his heart, did not ever want to do. That's something he was careful of. And Rick writes in the previous book that, you know, a strength that is not in check or submitted to God can eventually become our weakness. And because she came in and was able to say, hey, listen, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to, and he listened, he was fatigued, he took a break, and before you know it, he never heard of it, you know, the revival stopped.
Wow.
And so Rick Jordan says that, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, does God move with one person, or if this is a sovereign move of God, could anything have happened? Why did he need one person? And basically, Rick Jordan says, get over it. He says, from the very beginning all the way till now, God has always looked for a man. Mm-hmm. He's always looked for a man to partner with. And so we got to get out of this thing, because if we start, you know, moving in the sin of a religious spirit or measuring or what we think is ideal or what we think the Holy Spirit's supposed to do or what we're supposed to do, instead of letting the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do, we're going to mess it up.
Yeah, that is so powerful, because that whole concept and that understanding of just like you're getting so rigid, you're getting so focused on how things should be, you know, that's what Rick writes about. And right after what you had read previously, he says, some who were greatly used of God in the past have become too rigid in doctrinal emphasis, or are too entangled with spiritual, quote-unquote, Ishmaels, to participate in this revival. Some of these will try to join the work, but their interrelationships will be so superficial that they will quickly be torn from the net in the first catch. Mm. Those who are linked together by doctrine, those who gather to personalities, or who are motivated by a political spirit which seeks to unify around human alliances, will quickly be torn away. And this is the powerful thing. He says, only those who are joined by and through Jesus alone will stand the pressure this harvest will bring upon the church.
Wow.
And it's just like, there's nothing else that's going to hold you in what God's going to do other than Jesus Christ. And that's the huge thing that we've been talking about before. It's like these moments that are really going to expose the souls of men, what they think, what they want, what they feel. And it's just like, what are your true motives? What is the true intentions of what it is that you're doing right now? Are you doing it for your kingdom? Are you doing it for a paycheck? Or are you doing it to make the name of Jesus famous?
Motives are all going to be weighed out. We're reading this now. Maybe this is for you.
Yeah.
You know, get your motives right before God so that you won't be on the sideline when this great move of God comes. More we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Children need and love consistency, especially with holiday traditions. This is Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, and here's Mary Hunt sharing a warm Christmas memory.
For our boys, we had a tradition that one day during the month of December, on opposite days, not on the same day, they got to stay home from school. We allowed them to miss a day of school. Yes, teachers, we did. We sent a note ahead of time. And there were activities we did. We made cookies, just Mom and Jeremy. We made cookies. And we would go to the mall. He wanted to go shopping in the toy store to pick out what one thing he wanted. I mean, we had these traditions that the kids look forward to, but it was relaxed, evenly paced time with the parent.
Intentionally spending time with your kids is one of the most important things you can do this holiday season. You'll find activities you can do with them at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can, while it's actually the light of the gospel, because You know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing. You know, a network now that's reaching around the world, mm-hmm. Television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. It's obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices. It just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, mm-hmm. and he was, he and my has my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, mm-hmm. and you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, uh-huh. and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV, mm-hmm. and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program, mm-hmm. with their iPad.
Oh wow!
They have an iPad, uh-huh. and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store, mm-hmm. and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly that app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Oh.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're continuing our conversation on the book called The Harvest, written by Rick Joyner some 25 years ago, a prophetic vision he received. And the reason we're reading it is because a lot of it has come to pass. Actually, we're led by the Lord to read it. And there's still more yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the magnitude of the harvest that he was shown. What is going to happen in this end time, last day, huge harvest of souls. And we're getting to the part about entering into mm-hmm. his rest. Steve, talk to us about that.
Just recently we were talking about, you know, your motives are going to be exposed, and it's going to be important, you know, how we relate to other people. Are we doing it for God? Are we doing it for ourselves, or what have you? And what is so powerful in that is he talks about the pressures of the harvest and the magnitude of the harvest and the things that are really going to be going on. But what he says, the cords of unity must be very strong to withstand the pressure. Mm. Those who have not learned to take the Lord's yoke, instead of carrying the burdens themselves, will be overwhelmed. Entering the Sabbath rest of the Lord will become a major emphasis in the preparation for the harvest. We must heed this word. And that is so powerful because we shared a segment previously about the fact that, you know, the grace of God and understanding, like, when you come to that moment of pleading, it's like, I can't do this, it's too much. That's when you're beginning to understand the yoke of Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you, for I'm easy and my burden is light. And he says the fact that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And we have to have that time of rest, just like what you're saying in that, and I forgot his name in the Welsh revival.
Robert Evans.
He didn't have that time of rest. He was trying to do it, and so much so that he got worn out. And we need those around us, those brothers and sisters, that family in Christ to say, hey, it's okay. Take a day off. Go sleep. Just do nothing. Because without that rest, you know, the word says that it becomes do, and then they ended up falling back and getting ensnared.
Yeah.
And we have to have that vibrancy. We have to have that time of being able to be rejuvenated, to have that energy to do it again.
Yeah. And that's really rest, those that are in the front lines. I mean, mm-hmm. those that are going full speed ahead, because the truth is that many right now believers are in a continual place of rest. They're mm-hmm. willing to be mobilized.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's always like I hear folks are going on vacation. Like, normally vacation comes after hard work. I mean, but it's a lifestyle of vacation. You're on vacation every day, you know, and it's like, wait a minute. And so rest is not for the people that are just resting, right? But resting is resting for those that are on the front lines to take care of yourself spiritually. But in general, we all enter the Sabbath rest, which is Jesus. And that's not striving in works and what we're able to do, but being able to rest in the finished work of Christ and being able to rest in what the Holy Spirit is going to do. We're just tools in his hands. We're not the operator. He mm-hmm. does what he wills, what he wishes, and we just submit and go alongside, you know, go along with them for the ride. Mm-hmm. But in this section called True Conversions, this is so powerful, I thought. And Pat, I want to get your thoughts on this as we discuss it. But he says a large number of who are now considered Christians have never been led to the Lord. I'm going to read that again. A large number who are now, right now, considered Christians have never been led to the Lord.
Wow.
They were led to the church, to a personality, or to a doctrine or emphasis. Some of these will think that they are important links in the net, but will actually become part of the harvest.
Wow.
Starting over again on the proper foundation, which is a relationship with Jesus. And I've been saying this for a long time, that there are a lot of false converts. And a false convert is someone who just said that, you know, one day I'm a follower of Jesus, you know, I believe in Jesus, but they've never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They're not discipled growing in the foundation of God. And the enemy, the Bible tells us that the enemy comes immediately to steal that word. And now, because they attach themselves to a quote-unquote church or a mm-hmm. group of believers or maybe to a pastor or to a doctrine, that they're more united with the doctrine, they're more united with the actual physical building that they call the church than they actually are with Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no relationship there. There's no encounter with God. They've never accepted the Lord. I know that's something that we've discussed from time to time, you mm-hmm. know, and how important that is.
Yeah, I just don't see how, if you call yourself a Christian, how that's even possible. I mean, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, which is what the word actually means,
mm-hmm.
and you never actually become a disciple of Christ, you know, what are we doing? I mean, what is the church, I mean, you know,
in general
doing? I mean, mm-hmm. whatever it is, it's not working.
Right. You know? Because that is so true. Because how many times you're like, well, what's God saying? Well, if that's true, I mean, think about it. George Barna tells us in his research that 81% of believers aren't even reading the Bible, people that call themselves believers.
Mm-hmm.
Only 19% are reading the word. And of that 19%, only 3% of the 19% actually feel responsible for their own spiritual development.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're not, you don't become a Christian just because you put on the t-shirt and you, you know what I'm saying? You don't become a football player because you walked into a football game. You don't become a Christian just because you walked into a church and you say, yeah, that's a good idea. You become a Christian when you encounter Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to use the word, you know, follower of Christ. You know, why? Because you follow what, you follow him,
mm-hmm.
you know, but today in America, different parts of the country, everybody's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that messes so many people up. And what Rick is saying in this book, that there's coming a point, a defining moment, there's coming a time where people are going to have to draw the line in the sand and realize, I was calling myself a Christian, but I'm not a Christian.
Yeah,
I need to give my life to Jesus. And a lot of people are they're looking at Jesus as a way of life. They're trying to apply principles of the Bible to their life, but they're not making Jesus the Lord of their life. I mean, how many times do you see this where folks that don't want anything to do with Jesus, listen to me now, don't want to fellowship, don't want to come into the gathering of believers, they don't want to abide, but they will call themselves Christians, and it's time to get married, they'll say, hey, I need a minister to come and perform this wedding ceremony, and let's do this, and all that, and you realize, what do we understand what marriage is all about, and why God instituted, and how the husband represents Jesus, and the bride represents the church, the bride of Christ, and it's an image, and God has clear expectations for how we're supposed to walk this new relationship out. He has special instructions for the husband, special instructions for the wife, and that this is what God has instituted. I didn't ask for all that. I just said, can you just come up here and, you know, do your thing?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not, that don't work. You know what I mean? We have to make him the Lord of our life. Jesus is Savior and Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And that's the whole deal. He needs to be the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be the Lord. He talks about how denominations are in extra fellowships. A lot of people are going to be leaving those. He says, and they're just going to be just joining together. They're going to say, this is what God's doing, and we just want to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me think of, you know, we've talked about it before, when you look in the book of Acts, you know, Paul says, you know, which baptism did you receive? And the disciples that who he was talking to were quick to say, you know, we had the baptism of water, we had the baptism of John. And it's like how quick we are to respond to our denomination or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, but what about Jesus? You know, Jesus didn't say anything about a denomination. He said, follow me. And it's just like, you know, I remember hearing somebody once say the fact that Christianity is not a lifestyle. Christianity is a man. You're following the ways of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. You're following how Jesus lived his life, what he taught, his values. And it's just the fact that what Jesus says is right and what Jesus says is wrong. And I think that's so powerful, too, because when you understand the fact that I just follow what Jesus says, and we hear it many times before, it's just like, what do the red letters say? Share all the red letters.
Yeah. Read all the red letters, and then once we follow Jesus, we realize that his life becomes part of our life, and that everyday living becomes about honoring him. Whatever he says is what we do. That's why he's the Lord. He's the boss. He's the head person. He's the one in charge. You know, ask your opinion. Well, I don't know what God says about that. You know what I mean? I don't make any decisions outside of the instruction and the wisdom of God. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
when you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, in every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich. So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they had never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
"There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die."
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about and getting ready to jump right in about the calling of the disciples. Mm-hmm. Talk to us, Steve.
Yeah, I've been abiding in Mark, and I've just been really just thinking about just the process of what Jesus went through. And it's amazing, too. It's just like a lot of times in your abiding time, it's like all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will kind of show you things. It's like you're kind of like reading in between the lines, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily think about the black and white, but you're thinking about the whole, imagining that situation, imagining the reality, because a lot of times we forget, like, this actually happened. Like, the people that you read about, they really existed. And to think about that, and it's just like, oh my goodness. And when I think about it in Mark 1, you know, when Jesus came, The Bible talks about how he met who he decided who was his disciples. We talk about the 12 and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, and those that Jesus poured his life into. But a lot of times we forget, or we just lose sight of those first encounters. Like when they first heard about Jesus, they first saw Jesus. And in Mark 1 it says, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, 'Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' At once, they left their nets and followed him. When Jesus had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And I just really had to think about that. And it's like, can you imagine how long these guys have been fishing? They left their nets. You know, were they, was it their business? Was it, were they helping a friend? Imagine it's just like, you think about whatever job that you're doing, whether you're in an office, you're in a grocery store, you're in a fast food place or wherever. And a man walks past you and just says, follow me. And you literally drop everything and start following him. And what the Holy Spirit was really just revealing, and it's like you can think about it, imagine what they had to be thinking about. That they're, quote unquote, in their nets, quote unquote, in their businesses, in their daily lives, whatever they're doing, and just thinking about, and there's got to be something more. How did I get here? What's really, I mean, I like fishing. Fishing's great. I mean, I'm here with my dad, Zebedee. We're just chilling out. The sun's coming up. But is there something more? Because you think about it, and it really began to think about the religious people. And what is so powerful is that Jesus didn't find his, quote-unquote, 12 disciples in the temple. He didn't go, and he's just like, hey, third row back. Hey, no, other guy. No, come here. He was outside walking amongst the people who understood that there's a process, who understood that there's, I got to be faithful with the small things. You think about David. David was tending a few sheep, and God called him. And even after God called him, he's like, well, all right, I'm just going to go back to what I was doing before. God found me now. He'll find me again. And that's so different to how the religious people, the religious leaders of the day, responded to Jesus. That Jesus would say a scripture, or he would say a specific word, and they'd be like, okay, well, teacher, let me see what you think about. And it's just like, no, they didn't do that. And I think that's so powerful because a lot of times God will say a message to us, or like what you're saying in a previous segment, that you'll be at the counter and the Holy Spirit will say, hey, I want you to speak to that lady. Is there that immediate, like, hey, we just followed him. We just did what he said. Mm-hmm. Or are we just like, well, if you look back to the previous scripture, and it's like, no, that's not how they did it.
They encountered him.
But what I think is so powerful was that they responded to his voice. And they knew, and Jesus knew that there was a difference. Jesus came, when you read the word, it talked about in Hebrews that he brought a new covenant. Not the old covenant. And he talks about the fact, he's like, no, I did not come to bring the law. He says, I came to fulfill the law. And when you read in Mark 2, he says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. He says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours the new wine into new wineskins. And you think about that, and Jesus is the wine. Jesus is the new covenant. And he's like, I'm not going to try and teach an old dog new tricks, you know, for lack of better words. Because he knew that the religious people were so set in their ways, he says, you know what? We're just going to start fresh. And it was simple fishermen, and even the religious people responded to the disciples and like, these men have been with Jesus. They're just simple men. And that's the power of faith. That's the power of just simply believing what Jesus says. And I love the fact in other parts of the word, it says that they would have ears to hear and eyes to see. And the thing about it, though, is that the religious people did hear Jesus because the Bible talks about a conversation that they had back and forth many times. But did they really hear him?
Yeah.
And Jesus says that you would be ever seeing but never seeing, ever hearing but you're not really hearing. And that's the thing, is that when the disciples heard a man walking past a boat and simply called out their names, they literally dropped everything because they heard the call. That there's a call on their lives. And that's so powerful because each one of us, like when I think about our own stories and I think about, you know, you can go on meetmyfather.org and read the stories, because it's like you have to come to that moment when you're in your quote unquote in your net, and you got to get to that point and be like, man, hey, I like doing this, but maybe I don't. But is there something more? And that's the beautiful thing, because there's a call on your life. God created you for a portion to bring about the kingdom that it's just like nobody else can do in the kingdom. Or I don't want to say it like that, but God has a certain portion for you. Mm-hmm. He's got a certain plan for you. When you read about in Jeremiah, he says, many are the plans I have for you. He says, if you search me with all of your heart, then you'll find me. Mm. And that's that beauty of it, because Jesus is calling you right now. He knows your name. He's marked you. And I think that's so beautiful because, you know, in Acts, it talks about the fact that God set the times and the places for us to see if we would reach out to him. And that, you know, God's walking past your neighborhood. God's walking through, you know, your business and through the grocery store. And he's calling your name right now. It's like that whisper is he wants you to follow him just like the disciples follow Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea is that God truly, truly loves you.
Yeah.
He has a plan for your life, and he wants to call you by name. He wants to pull you out of that situation and bring you over on the other side. And, you know, how many times has that happened? I mean, we've seen it time and time again. I was minding my business. There I was in my wallow, in my whatever, in my junk. And then God tapped my shoulder.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I think people are expecting to hear this audible voice. They're expecting to see, you know, a chariot come from heaven or some sort of, you know, huge demonstrative sign that God says, here I am. And oftentimes, no, it's not going to happen, you know.
Right.
You know, oftentimes it's, God has a really subtle ways of getting our attention. And what happens is that once that opportunity just opens up for us, we'll look back and realize, oh my, what about that day and this moment? And then before you know it, it's like kind of you start connecting the dots. And once you start connecting the number of dots, you see there was a big picture. There was a big plan all along. Mm-hmm. And I think that God brings us progressively into the revelation of who he is. I think that too much too soon sometimes blows us out, and that God loves us enough to patiently bring us along the path where he will take one turn, and then he reveals himself. He opens our eyes and we go, wow. And the temptation on our part is not to walk in the same patience that the Lord walks in. Because when we're trying to witness to someone, maybe a family member or a friend, we're like, what part don't you get? You know, God loves you, or, you know, so you want them to get it pretty fast or something. You're like, hey, man, God loves you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's your problem?
What's your problem, dude? Come on. And but God loves them.
Yeah, that's a huge reality. I'm just like, I've got something in my office that always reminds me that if you remember the toy that you give an infant, where it's basically that plastic, and you got a big circle, a little circle, and then even a little circle.
Right.
And it goes in order. And when I found it, the top one was missing.
You still have the thing?
I still have it. but I'm going somewhere with this. But the thing about it is you can't skip that. And it's so powerful. What you're saying is that God is so patient, and that he reveals himself to us ever so gently and just says, hey, I love you. And he's like, hey. And it's like he woos us and draws us to himself. And we forget that. So many parts of our journey, and we're like, Jesus died for you. He loves you. Jesus died for you. And it's like we want to, you know, in our culture, everything's so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's like God wants that relationship to be built on sturdy foundation for us to know in surety that, hey, this is solid. Now we can go forward. Mm-hmm. But if we try to rush it, it's like, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I keep that.
You can't skip process.
Exactly. That's what that ring represents, is that first ring. You can't get to the fourth ring unless you properly apply the first one. And it's just like, how quick are we to do that? And it's just like, we got to remind ourselves that God's patient and he's willing to go through that.
Yeah, I mean, we got to remember too that, you know, the Bible says that God's spirit will not always contend with man. Mm. And I think that living here in the West, when I mean the West of the world, America, I think that many people believe that they have plenty of time, that they can, you know, swing in on Jesus and drop in on him at any time, and that they're in charge of getting right with God. But you're really not. I mean, you're at the mercy of God. You've got to turn your heart to him. And a lot of times circumstances, things that happen in our lives are a result, you know, tough circumstances, trials. You realize, you know, one train wreck after the other, you realize, you know, maybe there's something to this, you know, the job loss, the failed relationship, the no friends, the, you know, continually battling with maybe fits of rage or personality, things that, that bring division, you know, bouts of depression. When you start realizing, wait a minute, if I start connecting the dots, you know, is this the fruit of a lifestyle that's totally turned their back on God? And, you know, things can never go right with you. They can never turn great. They can never be hopeful if we don't ever turn our hearts to God. You know, we need to turn like the disciples did. And Jesus spoke to them. They encountered him. Mm-hmm. And you may be wondering, like, well, how does that sound? Or, like, how is that going to come about? Listen, the most easiest thing that you could ever do is be absolutely open and say, God, if you're not walking with him, you say, God, I don't know you like I need to know you, but I invite you, have your way in my life, whatever you want to do. And then just pay attention and just watch what God will do and just give your life to him. I'm telling you, he'll lead you right. He'll lead you straight to him. Mm-hmm. But you just got to be open. And I've seen it happen so many times. Mm-hmm. You don't have to work at it. Believe me, God wants you to be with him. All you have to do is just submit to him and be open to his leading. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, I was just thinking, I want a sailboat. I want to be able to sail in the Gulf, a nice to call. And a small one, just real, like, about, like...
We had one when we were kids. Remember that?
Yeah, I should. Oh, get out of Dodge. I should remember on that. Second Street?
Yeah.
Oh, was it like a sunfin or something?
It was, not very big. Yeah. Like 14-footer.
I'm thinking about it. I don't know what it would be called, but it's just to get on the beautiful water out there. Don and I were traveling this weekend, and we came over a body of water at some point, and it's just such so peaceful. The second you come out of all whatever's going on in the land and stuff, and you come over a bridge and there's water on both sides of you, it's just so peaceful. Something serene about, when you think about the glassy sea, you know, in heaven.
What's cool about that is they don't break down.
They don't, yeah.
Like motors, man.
Right. I'm going to go get some stuff from the store. Get on the sailboat. We're going to go to the store.
No fuel.
Just wind. And, yeah, I really thought about that. So I'll be looking for one that's you know, fairly about 14-foot. I'm thinking something like Jim had.
Something you can handle by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I had a story. You know, Dad, years ago, we used to live on the beach, and Daphne, my sister, and I, when we were younger, rented a sunfin. I think it was like a sunfin, maybe a little bit bigger than a sunfin. And we got on the bay, the Pensacola Bay. And we were going to just sail across the bay because we've been living on the island. So what's the big deal? It's just a little kite with a boat on it. Mm-hmm. And we got on, we rented the sailboat, and we got on the water, and we sailed perfectly. Straight out. Just like 90 miles an hour. Like, this is great.
Right to the Gulf?
We would have hit the bridge, probably went with that. But it just straight out. And it's like, oh my goodness. This is wonderful. And then we realized we don't know how to go to the right. We don't know how to go to the left. We don't know how to turn around. We can just go straight, like when we were diving that time.
Right.
And so we had to, we tried to spin that puppy. We tried to tic-tac it, you know, all these different things that they supposedly said. And then we were over all the seaweed, nasty stuff. And as a kid, your imagination's going wild. Like, I can't get out here. We can't walk it here. And finally, we just pulled it up on shore on the other side of
in another city, and I stayed with a sailboat, and Daphne walked all the way over the bridge.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and came back and got the folks, and she's probably laughing when we're talking about this. And they came and got the boat. It was pretty tragic. So, obviously, I'm going to need some lessons, but my doctor told me that he would teach me. He would teach me. He says real peaceful, and it's a great, you know, a stress releaser, and it's pretty cool to be on the water out there. I remember once we were swimming as kids, and that was the perfect life. I wish you would only. Wish I would have known how to enjoy it better back then.
I know.
Right? Life works backwards, right? The frontal lobe don't develop till you're like 25. Mm. Yep. You can't really appreciate things. Yeah. And every day I would get out, come home from school, and I would be on an island. I'm a, like flipper. I mean, this is like I'm on the island every day. And I would go swimming, and we'd do all these different things together. But I would have enjoyed it even better. It was amazing how many friends we have in Little Beach because everybody would come over and visit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. We didn't realize that we were the beach house. That's why they were actually coming.
Imagine that.
The beach house. So that's my excursion and losing weight and getting a sailboat by God's grace.
Great plan.
Yes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And, you know, we've shared on a previous segment, you know, regarding Chris's love for animals, and particularly dogs. And we know that he's had several dogs here recently.
Several.
And there's a new one that's coming to the family. I mean, there's a new one that's coming.
On its way.
On its way, a German Shepherd. A nice one. A rare one. But also, I just found out.
On sale.
It's on sale. One of a kind.
50% off.
Rare.
One of a kind.
I think they're flying it in.
I think it's going to be an imported.
Is it imported?
China.
It's a special German Shepherd. I actually think it speaks German. I'm not sure. But I didn't know that he's always had a fondness for dogs. I mean, even when he was younger. What happened at Second
Which
Street?
Which is amazing to me that he didn't want to get near a dog after being traumatized.
Was he traumatized? What happened? What happened? Talk to us. I mean, what happened at Second Street? Because he went from, well, there's the dog years. There was another dog that mysteriously, all I can say is Gulf Beach Highway. All I know is Gulf.
I can't talk about those dogs. Can't talk. I don't know what
then, those. Then there was one pug. Two pugs, yeah. Now the German Shepherd. But there's been a history of dogs, and I talk to us here because I'm standing beside myself here. I don't help yeah, me. Help right. me get some clarity here.
Well, when we were kids, we did have a very large dog. It was a Great Dane.
Oh, cool. Great Dane.
Yeah. Holy. He was probably 150 pounds. He was not a horse. Small, not a small dog. Yeah, a small horse,
you
actually.
You had a horse, okay.
And one day, and it was probably wintertime, he's outside with the dog.
Is outside with the Great Dane.
Yep. Okay. He's probably 3 or 4 years old. He wasn't very big. And me and my mother were actually standing in the kitchen looking out the window. And all of a sudden we see Chris just, we had this old sailboat too, was in the yard. I see Chris running behind the sailboat. You know, he had this hoodie thing on. And then all of a sudden I see the dog chasing him.
The 150-pound.
The 150 dog. Yeah. 150-pound dog. And then all of a sudden you see the dog come out the other end. With Chris in his mouth. He had him by the hoodie, dragging him across the yard. And my mother just starts screaming. I mean, she's like, oh, my God, he's eating my son. And I'm laughing. I'm like, ah. I'm like, look at that. That's hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
And you would think, you know, the boy would be traumatized for life. You know, just dogs. No, I don't do dogs.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
No, but actually, as I'm thinking about this, I just, maybe a thought just hit me. Just
quick memory.
Just hit me. Didn't he recently have a Great Dane himself?
You know what? He did. He had a Great Dane.
He went there.
Wait a minute. He went there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, how many dogs? I mean, most people, one or two dogs in their lifetime, maybe three. But how many dogs has your brother? I mean, we got to figure this out because
to be honest with you, there's been so many. I cannot keep count.
Wow.
I cannot keep count with all these dogs.
I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't hear what you said.
We just want to put it out there. We want to put it out there that if you want to give away a dog, we know someone who loves dogs. You know, it doesn't matter that they have four or five of them in the house. They'll take a sixth one, and he'll love them.
He will.
He will love them.
For a period of time.
Then there'll be another dog.
That's right.
We don't know what happens to the dogs afterwards. They never are mentioned ever again. But, you know, we could do an investigative reporting and find out for you.
All right.
Do we have a name for the German Shepherd yet? Has that been?
Not sure yet. I'm sure it'll be unique.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Francis? We got Francis, right? What's the other one?
Aunt Francis.
France?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
I heard that there was a second pug. Because I know of Francis, but then there was Samson.
No. Samson's my wife's dog.
Correct. Yeah. Notice how we added that in there. And he's like, that's my wife's dog. Yes. We throw that out.
Yeah, I don't claim him.
We saw him cooing over those dogs.
Yes.
We saw that.
But they grew up, so there's no reason to coo anymore.
But he will violently put a Saints jersey on him. Just want to throw that out there.
That's my son.
Was there a second pug? Because I don't know about the second pug.
Oh yeah, we've covered that extensively. We don't want to rehash that. I don't want
There's not enough time.
There's not enough time. And tears of flow. Tears of flow. We don't want to do that. But we just want to say, hey, listen, we love dogs. I mean, Chris loves dogs, and if you needed to give one away. I mean, we know the guy in the family for you. I mean,
speaking of dogs,
how
many do you have now?
Well, I have two. I have
but
two
you used
dogs.
To have three.
You used to have three.
But I still want to know what happened to this third dog.
What happened to the third one?
She just vanished.
I mean, this cute little dog.
I've never had three dogs at one
continually.
Time.
Is that the one that you kept getting pictures of?
No. I've never had three dogs at a time.
This dog vanished out of thin air.
What was his name?
Her name. Coco.
You did know about
I remember
Coco. Oh, I remember
Coco.
Coco.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
It was a miniature version of this other thing you've got.
Other thing I have. A Doberman. These will cover your ears. A Doberman. Well, we don't have time to get into about that dog right now. We don't have time.
I'm so concerned about this dog.
We don't have time for that.
We do have time. No.
didn't she go to Jersey with you?
What happened?
In the near future, we will discuss that, but right now,
we have arrived at the near future.
We don't want to discuss that. Listen, we love dogs. If you don't have a dog, get one or get someone.
Get with Chris. He will be able to hunt you one up.
He may give you one. But I don't. On the really funny side, there's so many people today that, especially elderly, that are living by themselves, that a great companion for them, a well-behaved dog, is really a great companion. They bring a lot of joy and
behave,
fun.
That's important.
Yeah, behave is a good one. You may consider getting one for yourself or getting one for a family member. But if you can't find one, you can contact us. We can make something related for you on the torch.
We can make it happen.
Because we know one who has...
A few.
You could say a family of dogs. A pack.
A pack, for sure.
And maybe we might be able to release one. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.